Praise the Lord. Well, we'll continue with the issues from Corinth. And last week we did hear from Pastor Benjamin. He talked about what tongues are, the importance of tongues, and when we should use the tongues. This morning, the sermon will look at the blessings of speaking in tongues in your private life. The blessings of speaking in tongues as a private language. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to minister. Thank you, Father, for the revelation that will come freely from your throne. May we be encouraged. May we be built up as we see the insights from your word. Cause us, Father, to know you more deeply as we get into the subject. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we get into the details of the blessings that we'll see as you speak in your private language, let's do a prelude and just see where all this started. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus, when he was about to descend to go back to his Father, that is 40 days after his resurrection, he met with his disciples and he told them, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Because the Spirit comes upon you to empower you." In John 14, verse 16, 17, he taught them that the Spirit who is with you dwells with you and is in you. But this time he's telling them the Holy Spirit will come upon you to empower you. And once he empowers you, what will happen? He says, "You'll be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, and the uttermost of this world." Then, as we go in Acts 2, we see that they were gathered together in one accord in the upper room. 120 people were in that space. And we hear that the Holy Spirit came in a form of the wind, and the place shook. Then they began to speak in tongues. That was 10 days after Jesus has ascended back to his Father. It is actually called the day of Pentecost. That is 50 days from resurrection to that day. In Hebrew, they call it Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Weeks. This was the time when they received the gift of the Father, or the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that this feast is a time that the Jews, or if you go back to Exodus, it talks about the time when they came together, because it was a time where they were celebrating this feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, and they were in that space. If you go back in Exodus, this particular feast, which is related to the giving of the law, when Moses gave the law, when God gave the law to the children of Israel, that day, 3,000 men God died because the law judged them. But this particular time, the Spirit of the Lord has been poured out to the people. And Peter preached a message, and 3,000 men get saved. The law judged them. The gift of the Father empowered them to receive the word. It's interesting to note that as Peter was preaching, the Bible says that he said, "This is that." That was spoken by the prophet Joel. How did he pick it? Was Peter planning to preach that particular day? He wasn't planning to preach. He didn't even write a sermon. But what happened is that because he was empowered by the Spirit of God, the word that was in him came out and he went to the prophet of Joel and he said, this is that. When the Lord comes to empower you, great things happen. Great things happen. We see this experience happening again in Acts 8. And we see that Peter and John were sent to Samaria. And when they got there, the Bible reads, it says that as the people received the word, it says that they laid hands on them. And the Spirit of the Lord came. In fact, the Bible says it fell. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. And they began to receive the Spirit of the Lord and speak in tongues. This same experience, brothers and sisters, happened again. In Acts 10, verse 44, Peter was in Cornelius' house. And as he spoke, the Bible says, as he spoke in that house, the Holy Spirit fell upon the people and they began to speak in tongues. You don't have to wait until we finish the sermon for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. While the word is going on, they received the baptism and they spoke in other tongues. This is the same experience, brothers and sisters, it happened again as Paul was in Ephesus. As he got there, he found disciples in Acts 19. He found the disciples there and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. Then he prayed upon them, laid hands on them, then they received the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues. That was just our prelude to get into the sermon as we begin to see how God does that. So this morning, the blessings of speaking in a tongue in your private language. Now, we did hear from 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago about the spiritual gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, it says there are different kinds of tongues. Different types of tongues or kinds of tongues. Tongues plural. When we get into 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, it says, though I speak the tongues of men and of angels. So you see those two types there. Tongues of men and tongues of angels. But I do not love. I'm nothing. Then as we go now into Corinthians, we see now 1 Corinthians 14, we can turn our Bibles right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. The Bible reads, it says, He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. He speaks to God, and in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Can we read it in the Message Bible? Can we read it in the Message Bible? It says, if you praise him in the private language of tongues, God understands you, but no one else does. You are sharing intimacies between you and God. Oh, hallelujah. It says you get deeper in understanding and getting deep with God at a level that your human mind cannot comprehend. It says when you speak in your private language. So mainly, like I said, we're going to focus on speaking in tongues as your private language. So we'll see some of the benefits. Now, let me just dismiss some of the myths of speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not a sign of maturity. Some people, you see, then you think like Honda Kawasaki and all those things, and you think like they're speaking in this, they're mature. No. It's not a sign of spiritual maturity. You still need to read the Bible. You still need to study the Word of God. The Bible says this Word of God shall be upon your lips. You shall meditate upon it how many times? Day and night, to do and observe that which is written into it. Then you make your way prosperous. So it is getting into the Word. So it's not a sign of maturity. Two, speaking in tongues doesn't necessarily mean that your problems will be answered. If you still do not know how to manage finances, your problems won't be answered. Sometimes we say, no, let's speak in tongues, and we think like our problems will go away. No, will not go away. Rebo, fire. No. It doesn't take away the fact that your mind does not know how to manage finances. You still need to go and learn how to manage finances. Amen. All right. So what is the benefits? Let's get into it, shall we? See what the benefits are. Number one, from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says, speaks to God. Blessing number one is that you speak to God and not to man. Now you may ask me and says, Pastor, is not all prayer given or when we pray, we speak to God? Is it not all prayer that way? Yes and no. Because most of the time when we pray our opinions, our feelings, which do not align to what Scripture or what God says about His Word. We pray amiss. So He says, when you pray in tongues, you are empowered. When you pray in a tongue, He says you are empowered to speak to God. This type of prayer does not have impediments or hindrances or those things that can make a barrier in how you speak to God. He says this particular one makes you get into that place, like I said, you have intimacy with God. In other words, you speak deep things with God. You speak to God. That's benefit number one. There are no filters to that prayer as you pray in your private time. Now, speaking in tongues doesn't mean that you have to be loud all the time. You can be loud, but doesn't mean that you're going to be loud all the time. Fervent prayer is the fuel that comes from the Word of God. Inspired by God, but fueled by the Holy Spirit. That's a fervent prayer. You know, you can be speaking fervent prayer even with just in a soft way. But it's fervent prayer. It doesn't mean to be loud. It doesn't mean to be that you have to make noise and disturb your neighbors. It can be fervent, but it is powered by the Holy Spirit. Now, praying in tongues like we heard last week, he's not fighting. Remember, you are praying to who? To God. You are not fighting with God. It doesn't have to be. No. Are you praying to? You are praying to God. You are not praying to man. You are praying to God. So it doesn't have to be a fight. How many of us speak to our parents in a way that is seem to be? There's a way you approach and speak to your father, isn't it? There's a posture to it. So praying in a tongue is praying to God. So when you're praying in a tongue, you are speaking to God. Now, the second part there says the speaker, or the one who is praying in a tongue, does not understand what he's praying. So then you're asking me, then why are you praying? When are you praying? Remember, spiritual things can only be understood with a spiritual mind. So if you're still thinking you have to understand it with your intellect, you won't understand spiritual things. In fact, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, these things we also speak, not in ways which human wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. But the natural mind does not receive the things of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. You have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. If you are not, you will miss it. You want to understand. No, you want to understand. You are spirit. We talked about it. Pastor Benjamin talked about that we are spirit and we live in a body. Amen. Number two benefit that you get as you pray in a tongue is that you speak mysteries. You speak mysteries. In other words, you download the mysteries, the hidden from you, from man, but you download them from God. There's a download to you as you speak in tongues. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. So when we speak in a tongue, we speak in a spirit the wisdom of God, but in a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God, but we are not aware that we are speaking the wisdom of God. Because our spirit man guesses it first, and our natural man gets it later. Remember, like I said, you are spirit and you are soul and you live in the body. Galatians 5 tells us this way. It says, since you are spirit, keep in step with the spirit. Since you are spirit, keep in step with the spirit. In other words, your spirit goes first, gets it, then your natural mind follows to get it. Keep in step. Most of the time, we are ahead of the spirit. We are not in step with the spirit, and that's how come we are not getting it. Praying in a tongue performs an encounter with our spirit that causes us to get the deep things of God. You get the deep things of God. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 13, he tells them that the secret of the kingdom of God belongs to you. When you speak in a tongue, there's something that happens in your spirit that you begin to get the secret things that God has given you. So it enables us, praying in the spirit, in a tongue, enables us to get the hidden depth of God and in his word. In fact, when we are preparing this sermon, I was praying more in the spirit, just to get the download. It says, Lord, what do you mean here? Can I understand this? Because my spirit mind needs to get it first. I need to keep in step with the spirit. There's mysteries that happens when we pray in a tongue. Have you ever prayed? Have you gotten in a time when you are praying and suddenly there's just these names or words that come to you that you begin to pray for people, and suddenly they say, man, you meet them later on and say, look, I just felt I was praying for you. And it says, you don't know what I was going through. And when you prayed, I actually got the answer because you prayed for me. Because you prayed, you didn't even know that you were praying for that person. There was a download that happened in your spirit and you connected with the other person and things began to happen. You get to speak the mysteries of God. You get to speak the mysteries of God. Speaking in tongues enables you to do that. Benefit number three is that praying in a tongue, your spirit man prays. Your spirit man prays. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, it says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit. Remember, it's interchanging these two words, praying in a tongue and praying in the spirit. My spirit prays. I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I also sing with understanding. You see, God created man to be the partaker of his divine nature. I keep on going back. Man is spirit, then he's physical. Man is spirit, then he's physical. So, because your spirit prays, everything that happens in the physical started first of all in the spiritual. Who you are in public is mostly times informed from your private life. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days by himself. And when he came back, the Bible in Luke 4, it says when he came back, he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know why most of us are dry? You come to church, want to have that wonderful song, first of all, your favorite song to be prayed, to be sung. It's because your spirit man sometimes is dry. And so that's why you're waiting to be charged by that song. Somebody says, don't come to church for church. Bring church from your home. You know, what that word says is that you are charged already from your home and you come already filled up. We're not supposed to charge you from here. But what happens is that you are charged up on a Sunday, then 6 days, you are dry again. You're waiting for the stirring of the water. Come again on Sunday so that we can charge you. Mm-mm. It's your private life. That is, once it's charged, then you find it's very easy for you to maneuver things during the week. Even in your own life. Even when you come to church, you connect at a deeper level because you're already charged. This is not a place to be charged. In case you are looking to be charged, I went to church. It was powerful. It was powerful because your spirit was charged. Though some of us don't get it, it says it wasn't powerful because our spirit was not charged. So we're not even in tune with what God is saying. Pastor was boring. He was not. You are the one who's dry. Amen. The problem is that we allow our five senses to lead us. No. The five senses should not lead you. Our spirit should lead the five senses. Your spirit man prays. Your spirit man prays. You just get in a place where every time you are in a place like this one, you are already feeling the Holy Spirit there. And you know what? Sometimes we say the Holy Spirit is here. He's already here. It doesn't mean that when I say the Holy Spirit is here, then that's when you feel like, oh, the Holy Spirit, when you start getting goosebumps. No, 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 it's not that. It's because you already are in tune with the Holy Spirit. Your spirit man prays. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which are invisible. The state of your spirit man is determined by the state. The state of your physical man is determined by the state of your spirit man. So what should you do? You must cultivate and develop your spirit man. That is why Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. Who is the new man? The spirit man. Which was created according to God in righteousness and in holiness. The Genesis chapter 1 man, who was created in the righteousness and the holiness of God. The one who had to dominate the natural environment that God gave him. Praying in a tongue is important for a child of God. Benefit number 4. The Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 14 verse 4 says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Edifies himself. Benefit number 4 is that you get personal edification. You are edified. Your spirit gets edified or built up. It's like working out. You know, when I go working out, I work out on my body to make sure that I'm fit. You know, I go play squash from time to time to make sure that I am fit. And when I don't do that, most of the time, I find myself very sleepy, grumpy. I don't like sleeping too much, but I find myself oversleeping. I find myself sometimes even complaining. My moods are not so good because my body is, I'm not working out. If your spirit man is not edified, you get grumpy. You begin to complain on things that you're not supposed to be complaining about. You're grumpy. But man, when I wake out, oh, yo, I am alerte. I am alerte. The Bible says, be sober. My spirit gets sober when I pray in a tongue. I begin to discern my time. I know this time is to do this. I know what to do. I know what I need to focus on. I begin to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. Because my spirit man is edified, is built up. And I begin to enjoy what God wants me to enjoy. But when I'm dry, oh man. Coming to church is tough. Maybe my wife has to wake me up. And even then I'll say, I'll find you, I'll come for second service. Then second service, I said, don't worry. They always post on Facebook, right? On Monday. I'll have it on Facebook. After all, it's the word of God. I won't miss out anything. Because I'm already dry. But when I'm edified, I don't know about you, when you are not edified, how you feel. For me, it just takes me to places. Do you have time to get your spirit man edified and built up as you pray in a tongue? That's the benefit that you get in working out. Brothers, we live in a time where people are losing their faith. We get challenges of life, losses, and things that happen in life that makes trouble, sufferings and all those things, and we get discouragement. But when your spirit man is edified, you become like that Chinese baobab tree. You know that Chinese baobab tree? When the winds of life or the storms come, that tree, because it has grown so deep, its roots, when the storms come, that tree only bends. And once the storms go back, it goes back and to be still. When life hits us, we don't quit. We are like that baobab tree, we only bend. And then we go back and pick up where we left off. We are like that one. Paul says we are pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We are not crushed. We don't give up. We are hunted down, but we are never abandoned. We are confused. We get confused. Things happen, but it says we are not driven to despair. Because we are built up inside of us. The same things that others are going through that are making them even to start lamenting different things. The same things that I go through, I find that I still have peace and I still am able to move on. Why? My spirit man is built up, sir. It's not that I'm not going through the same things that you're going through. I'm still going through the same economy that you're going through, but my spirit man is different. The dollar is still 20 kwacha. I still have to pay 20 kwacha as well. But I have hope because my spirit man is built up. So when the going gets tough, the spirit man doesn't quit. You don't quit. You don't find yourself quitting on life. Benefit number 5 is that you keep yourself in the love of God. Jude 20 verse 21. Jude 1 verse 20 to 21. It says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your holy faith, praying in what? In the Holy Spirit. Remember these words, they're used interchangeably. It says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Praying in a time, your private time, deepens your love for God. Deepens your love for God. You begin to experience the love of God at a deeper level. And that is why Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 2. That you get strengthened in your inner man so that you are rooted and grounded in what? In God's love. You are grounded and rooted in God's love. You get a deep understanding of God's love that surpasses our thinking and our mind, our intellectual thinking. It passes that. You know that you know that you know that God loves me. I'm going through trouble, but I know God loves me. God loves me. He cares for me. He's for me. I don't have to explain to you, even when we have found ourselves in times when we are sick or things go on, the bad things that go on in life. And sometimes people think that that's when God has abandoned you because you are sick. No, or the devil has imputed that thing so that you can learn, or God has allowed it. No, no, no. See, at the end of the day, I know God loves me. This comes from the enemy. God loves me. He cares for me. So my understanding at a deeper level is that, look, it makes me understand God's love beyond just what my human reasoning would get me to. He loves me with an everlasting love. He loves me with an everlasting love. I guess that is why John said the disciple that Jesus loved. Do you know him at that level that it gets you to place and says, if there's anybody that God loves, he loves me. He loves me. I don't know about you, but God loves me. I'm telling you, I don't know about you. God loves me. Because I know where I've been. I know what stuff has happened in my life. I know that at one time I was lost, but now I'm found. God loves me, people. God loves me. God loves me. He loves me so much. I was an orphan. And God's love picked me up. Basically raised myself in life. But I've understood God's love at a deeper level now. That he loves me. That which the devil meant to destroy me, and God has picked me up and loved me. There were many nights that I didn't sleep, because I was hungry. But I still believed God loved me. There were nights I slept outside. As a boy, a 16-year-old boy. But God God loves me. So when you see this one today, you think it just came from somewhere, right? It's because of the love of God. The love of God. He loves me. He loves me. I want you to get it that God loves you. And so praying in a tongue will cause you to get to that level of knowing God loves you. So with all these few benefits that we talked about, they're not exhaustive. If you have time, go read and study about praying in a tongue. You see so many benefits. Now with every eye closed, I want you to close your eyes and just focus on the Lord. And believe that these benefits are meant for you. And as we're speaking right now, some of you are already getting into that frequency and you just want to get the power of the Lord, that the gift of the Father that He gave us. He gave us this gift so that He can empower us to live a victorious life. So that when life hits us, we are not in despair. We can still come out victorious. God loves us. He loves us. He demonstrated His love that while we're yet sinners, dead in our trespass and sin, Christ died for us. Died for us. So that we can become the righteousness of God in Him. He loves you. He loves you.